This is Business Update from the BBC. The main headlines. Amazon has been ordered to repay $293 million in back taxes by the European Commission. Details have emerged on why Chad was added to the US travel restrictions list, and demand for second-hand cars is surging in Kenya. I'm Philip Hampshire at the BBC's business unit in London. The European Union has launched a fresh crackdown against technology giants for tax avoidance. Its latest ruling impacts Luxembourg and its tax arrangement with the online retailer Amazon. Amazon has been ordered to repay $293 million in back taxes after the European Commission said that it had been given an unfair tax deal in Luxembourg. The BBC's Theo Leggett reports.
The European Commission believes that for more than a decade, Amazon benefited from a so-called sweetheart deal from the Luxembourg government. It did so by channeling a large part of its European profits into a non-taxable partnership controlled by its American parent. This arrangement was formally approved by the Luxembourg authorities. However, because the same deal was not offered to other companies, it was in effect an illegal subsidy. Luxembourg has been ordered to recover the money from Amazon. In a similar case last year, the Commission ordered Ireland to recover €13 billion in illegal subsidies to the technology giant Apple. It's now taking the Irish government to court for failing to do so.
Details have emerged on why the Central African country of Chad was included in the latest US travel ban. The BBC's Alex Duval-Smith explains.
When President Donald Trump decided to include Chad alongside Iran, Libya, North Korea, Somalia, Syria and Venezuela in his latest travel ban, it led to a lot of head scratching. Chad, which is located in Central Africa, just south of Libya, is the odd one out on that list. It's a majority Muslim country, but it's not generally considered a danger to the US. In fact, Chad's president, Idris Deby, is criticised at home for fighting other people's battles at the expense of the welfare of his people. But the firing of a key minister might offer a clue as to why the country was included. Chad's aviation minister, Mustafa Abakar, lost his job after reports that an aircraft licensed to a Chadian airline, Air Inter One, had illegally carried arms to Syria. Specialist media said the plane, an Airbus 340, flew to Iran, was given a new registration number, and was repainted in the colour of Syrian Arab Airlines.
Kenyans seem to have an appetite for cheaper second-hand cars, according to official government data. The BBC's Michael Koloki in Nairobi has more.
According to the Kenya National Bureau of Statistics, the country shipped in 41,379 units of vehicles valued at $380 million in the first half of this year. This is 18% more than the 34,989 vehicles that were imported in a similar period last year at a cost of $395 million. According to the data, the average unit cost of a vehicle was below $9,000 in the 6 months to June. Some environmentalists have raised concern about the environmental impact of second-hand vehicles, noting that the emissions from such vehicles need to be closely monitored by the government.
The BBC's Michael Koloki there reporting from Nairobi. You're listening to Business Update from the BBC World Service Radio.
This is the Business Update from the BBC World Service.
Zimbabwe's president and government have brushed off concerns about a new financial crisis. They're blaming shadowy forces on the internet and social media for fueling unnecessary panic. Zimbabwe has been without its own currency for nearly a decade now, after it was devastated by hyperinflation, and the Zimbabwean dollar was mostly replaced by the US dollar, the South African rand and the euro. The current president, Robert Mugabe, has been visiting neighbouring South Africa, where our correspondent Andrew Harding went to see him.
I'm watching President Mugabe shuffling slowly past me. The camera's catching every step. He's 93 years old now, and you can see it requires all his concentration to walk towards his chair and slump down. His bodyguards have just made it very clear to me that I should not call out or distract him.
May I begin by...
Between long pauses, Mr. Mugabe explains to his counterparts here in South Africa that he's come to discuss a favourite topic, radical economic reform.
One people, one revolution, one struggle, one future.
But for all the applause here, back home, an old enemy is threatening to resurface. Remember hyperinflation? Those grim times a decade ago when the Zimbabwean economy and its currency, the Zim dollar, fell down the proverbial rabbit hole.
To give you a sense of this country's spiralling economic catastrophe, I've come to a supermarket on
this the edge. Was me shopping in the capital, Harare, in 2008.
Well, I've just spent nearly $1 trillion and I've got 3 tins of baked beans and some tomatoes to show for it.
Soon after that, Zimbabwe was forced to abandon its worthless currency and use the American dollar instead. And it's worked, after a fashion, for years. Except that now the country isn't earning enough US dollars abroad to share round at home.
135, 136, 137.
And this is the result. Customers queuing by number overnight outside banks, nervously hoping to withdraw their wages. But there's a new complication. The authorities have started paying people in bond notes, essentially a new local currency. And everyone in Zimbabwe remembers what happened last time.
The bond note started losing value. You go on the street to the money changers, they tell you of a different rate. At the bank, you don't get the money that you want. So that fueled the fear. It's the fear that I have as an ordinary Zimbabwean.
I think the people of Zimbabwe are in some sort of a panic mode whereby they are insecure of their future, considering the current political dispensation that is taking place.
Government officials like the Minister for Industry and Commerce, Michael Beamer, say panic is unnecessary and is being fueled by traitors spreading rumours on the internet.
I don't think we would call it a crisis as such. What has happened, and which is very unfortunate, is that there's been an abuse of the social media. So I think it's just a passing phase and things are getting to normal.
Perhaps, but the problems go far deeper. Despite a good harvest, Zimbabwe's economy is in desperate shape. Trade unions put the unemployment rate at 90% and say businesses are folding fast.
Listen, it is not just a problem that there is no enough money in circulation. The root cause is that there is no production happening in the country.
Joy Mabenge is a political economist working for the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition.
So when people are looking at resolving this economic situation, they are looking at overhauling the political system, starting with President Mugabe himself, because he is the one that is presiding over the mess that we are seeing. In fact, the collapse has happened under his watch, and we all know that this is also because of just sheer misgovernance. He must step aside and allow probably a younger person or somebody with better ideas to take charge of the country and move the country forward.
And discovering where they are.
But back in South Africa, President Mugabe seems to have found a new lease of energy, joking as he introduces his cabinet ministers and making it very clear that at 93, the continent's oldest leader is staying put.
Andrew Harding reporting from South Africa there. Well, let's take a quick look at the financial markets. And December Brent crude oil is currently down by 25 cents. That takes it to $55.75 a barrel. Meanwhile, the London Morning Gold Fix was $1,276 an ounce. Moving across to stocks and shares, London's FTSE 100 share index is currently down by 0.1% at 74.64. Meanwhile, the euro is trading at $1.17.7 US cents, and the pound is trading at $1.32.8. You've been listening to Business Update on the BBC.